like to welcome all of you today to this funeral service for Gregory Allen Rumler. Most of us call him Rummy. And I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy days to be here and to remember a man that we all love, a man that meant the world to me. And I want to share with you a psalm that we shared together in our mentoring times. And if you'll turn to the back of your bulletin, there's Psalm 23. And I'd like us to stand and we will read or quote this psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. I want you to know that God's goodness and mercy followed Rummy until last week at 2:54 p.m. a week ago. And now he's dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Pastor Larry, come and share scripture and prayer with us, if you would.
One of the greatest sources of comfort and of direction that the Lord has given us in this life is his word, God's holy word, the Bible. And in there we find direction for life and death, and life after death as well. It conveys to us the message of God's provision for our salvation and tells us of God's love and mercy to us. And I want to read to you some words that relate so powerfully to our gathering just now. These words of Jesus: I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I love this verse. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, our physical bodies, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I go to prepare a place for you. And then we read these words: My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For my Father, which has given them unto me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. And then these beautiful words: And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, speaking of heaven. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And then this exhortation: Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, let us, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord take those words and apply them to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we come into your presence today to worship you. You are the one that gives earthly life, and then when the race of life is over, you are the one that before the one that we must stand to give an account. And so we gather today to give you thanks for the life of Greg Rumler. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for he who started out apart from you ended up strong in his faith for you and is now with you. We pray, our Heavenly Father, today that the words that shall be spoken to us and the songs that shall be sung, may they today fix our minds upon the fact that we also have an appointment with you. Be with Marcy today in a special way. Lord, one of the hardest things in life is to say goodbye to a loved one, a mommy, a daddy, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter. That's a difficult thing. But it's also a different thing when we can say, Lord, into your hands we commit their spirit. So comfort this precious lady today, along with all other relatives and friends. And we just pray from the very beginning of this time together, own and bless this service, and may Jesus be exalted and honored in this service today as we pay tribute to the life of this man and listen to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I come to share the obituary of Gregory Allen Rumler, Rummy, February 5th, 1957 to August 21, 2020, I want to tell you, my dear brother in Christ was a very authentic man. He didn't mind you knowing his past, but he wanted you to know who he was now and what the Lord had done in his life. And he wanted you to know where he was headed. He's in glory now. Gregory Allen Rumler, Rummy, 63, passed away Friday, August 21st, 2020, at Sageview Care Center in Rock Springs, Wyoming. He was born on February 5th, 1957, the son of Peggy Ann Perry. Rummy attended schools in Table Grove, Illinois, and he graduated from VIT High School. He was self-employed as a welder for 40 years, and he owned a pawn shop, AAA pawn shop, for 20 years. Rummy was a member of this Rock Springs Evangelical Free Church, and he sat right over there most of the time. He loved his daughter and granddaughters very much, and he lived to make others happy. Rummy had a great sense of humor, and he enjoyed spending his free time going to garage sales. He will be dearly missed. Survivors include his girlfriend Tammy Adams of Vernal, Utah, daughter Marcy Rumler Sparks of Rock Springs, Wyoming, brother Mike Rumler, and wife Marla of Ipava, Illinois. Grandchildren Hannah and Kaya Sparks, niece Marissa Rumler, and nephew Matthew Rumler. He was preceded in death by his mother Peggy and sister Leanne. This eulogy presented today is the result of meeting on Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. with Marcy Rumler, Rummy's daughter, getting input by phone from Marcy's two daughters, Hannah on the phone, age 20, and also help from Hannah from Kaya, age 17. By phone with Ketra Lundeen, Rummy's first cousin that Rummy calls Sis, who lives in Eagle River, Alaska. and in person with Rummy's neighbor, Christy Nopens, and Rummy's girlfriend, Tammy Lynn Adams. My precious brother in Christ, Greg Rumler, was not always a born-again believer. Many of you knew Rummy long years before he surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, Greg Allen Rumler is a wonderful example of the truth of God's Word in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Greg Allen Rumler, like all of us, was born in sin. All of us. I was born in sin. Each of us. As a result of Rummy's decisions before coming to Christ, he spent 16 of his 63 years behind bars. Nevertheless, before Greg went to federal prison in Rochester, Minnesota, in his last of three imprisonments, I was talking to him in our living room. That day, Rummy was ready to be done with following the dictates of his old life. That day, Rummy surrendered to Jesus. Greg got down on his knees and prayed to ask Jesus to come into his life, to cleanse him from his past, to make him new, and to live daily in his life through God's indwelling Holy Spirit. I asked Rummy his full name because I told him, the Lord will write down your full name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I asked him his name, he gave me this name, Gregory Allen Perry Popenhugger Rumler Rummy. I said, God's got it all, and he knows how to spell it and pronounce it. My wife and I rejoiced in God making Rummy our new brother that day. That day we shared some of my wife's, Jenny's rhubarb pie he loves so much, and he's had more than one pie. We bought him a new Bible to have in prison. In those years in prison, Rummy lost the first Bible, so we got him another. And he read through the entire 1,189 chapters of the Bible four times. Many strong believers in Jesus have never read through the entire Bible once. With that perspective as our starting point in this eulogy, here are the remembrances that Marcy, Kaya, Hannah, Ketra, Christy, and Tammy shared with me last Monday evening. Ketra Lundeen, who lives in an old 1935 cabin in Eagle River, Alaska, Rummy's first cousin, weighed in telling me Greg always called her his little sister, Sis. She called him her brother, Greg, and she said, Greg always protected me. Greg loved his mother, Peggy, who bore him her first child when she was only 13 years old. Rummy grew up in Vermont, Illinois. Hannah said that her grandpa was very close to his mother, Peggy. Greg loved motorcycles, was a tease, and was always a very giving person who would give you his last dollar. In middle school, Greg met Diana, and they dated until after high school when they were married. Marcy was their only child. Greg ran a dinner club in Little Vermont, population 667, and he was a great cook. The club was called the Golden Nugget, and Rummy managed it for 7 years. Ketra remembered Rummy taking her for a ride one day on his new motorcycle. They started down the road toward a railroad crossing. A train was coming, and Ketra asked him, are you going to stop? Rummy said, no, we'll slip underneath the train. Ketra promptly jumped off the motorcycle. Rummy was quite the teasing character. Both Christy and Tammy said Rummy told jokes, but he would never explain the punchlines. Ketra and Christy both spoke of Rummy's driving as being impossible because he talked to you as he drove and he seldom ever looked at the road. Christy said any insurance company should have denied him insurance or demanded his liability insurance be upgraded to full coverage. She said he cannot drive. Even this past year, not long ago, when Rummy was doing better, he bought a motorcycle and wrecked it promptly. Hurt himself badly. Ketra spoke of being Marcy's babysitter when Marcy was little, so Rummy's little sis became close to Marcy as well. Soon Greg moved to Rock Springs, where he went to work for Black Butte Mine. He built the drag line as a welder. You've seen that drag line when you go on I-80 East. It's a huge thing. It came in pieces. That drag line's a huge piece of mining equipment to scoop up coal out of the ground. There Greg got the name Blinky at the mine, and he had the habit of flicking his tongue out as he spoke. He found out one day that can be dangerous out in sub-zero weather when you're up close welding a cold pipe. A little warm coffee got his tongue loose. Hannah echoed Kaya in saying their best memory of their grandpa Greg was Greg taking them both once a month to the Dollar Tree. He always gave them $10 each, and they both went on a spending spree. Hannah and Kaya both remembered getting to drive Rummy's forklift all over his Blairtown property where Rummy managed the AAA pawn shop. They also drove his tractor. Hannah remembered getting a full-size drum set when she was only 5 years old. Greg told these two granddaughters he loved so much, he took them home to his roots to meet his family back in Illinois, in Vermont, including their Aunt Phyllis, Ketra's mom. At that time in his life, Greg was a gambler. On that trip to Illinois, he left Kaya and Hannah at a hotel while he went gambling for a little while. And he left his granddaughters with instructions, do not open the door for anyone. For some reason, the security guard wanted in, and they would not let him in. But Aunt Phyllis came to the rescue at the motel at that time. She came in. Soon Rummy was back. He often picked up jewelry that he would later sell in his pawn shop. Marcy was her daddy's girl, and she confessed her daddy bailed her out of trouble more than once and always had her back no matter what. Marcy was the apple of her daddy's eye. Rummy worked hard at the AAA pawn shop he ran for 20 years and the welding shop he opened in 1992. Rummy had a habit of inventing his own stuff. He invented a pipe cleaning machine to clean oil field pipes that three companies, Weatherford, Halliburton, and Knight, all brought their pipes to have him clean. Rummy's machine was used for cleaning the pipe. It would go through those pipes used for downhill drilling to remove slab, grease, and dirt. The machine that Rummy built was built to walk through them so they could be used again. His service and his machine was always in high demand. Rummy was innovative in his business dealings. He knew his skill. Everyone knew that. Machine washing these pipes for the oil field was a never-ending job. Rummy worked long hours, as did his employees. Christy spoke about what a tremendous neighbor Rummy always was. She said he was a good man with a good heart. Greg loved garage sales. He would get newspaper ads and go through them, programming every garage sale and the address into his GPS in his car. Then on weekends, he hit every garage sale. Sometimes Rummy would buy the entire yard sale before others could buy one thing in the sale. Then he would sell what was valuable in his pawn shop. Rummy was a master in separating treasures from the trash in any garage sale. During Rummy's time spent in prison in Minnesota, Ketra corresponded with him every day while he was in federal prison in Rochester. Big brother and sis were very close. A year ago this past July, Rummy was released from prison under a special release so he could go home to die. It was thought within 6 weeks. I used to tell Rummy when we were mentoring together, you're just not doing a good job of dying, Rummy. Because for a lot of that time, he did pretty well. Most important of all, Rummy came home to his daughter, whom he loved. Marcy and Rummy often came to church together. Rummy so enjoyed church, worshiping, and he loved to push his walker from right there up here to an offering plate and put in his offering. Even during the worst of the pandemic, when all of us were supposed to stay in our car, he got out of his car and with his walker walked his offering over to the offering box and put it in to give his offering. This past year, Rummy and I often met together in his home. We read many chapters of Scripture to each other. Then we would share our prayer burdens with each other. I would pray first for him, and then Rummy would pray precious and powerful prayers for me as his pastor and brother in Jesus. Rummy always spoke highly of Marcy, and he loved his granddaughters. He was proud of them. Looking at their pictures, he often would say, "Aren't they beautiful?" Rummy would sometimes do his own cooking. One day he was making ham, beans, and cornbread. I tasted it. The food was yummy. One of the proudest moments of Rummy's life was when Marcy testified of her faith in Jesus and was baptized by immersion up at the Lower Green River Lake on July 31, 2019. Rummy was so proud of his daughter, he glowed when he spoke of Marcy. Marcy shared how proud she was of her dad and how hard her dad fought his liver disease to stay alive. A month ago, Rummy called Ketra, his little sis, and said, "Please understand, I'm going. Can't take the pain no more." Hannah said, "I'm so happy he isn't suffering anymore." We're all thankful God took Rummy home to glory. Never have I seen anyone go to bat to save another's life as Marcy fought to get a liver transplant for her dad. How many times you were in Salt Lake City together, Marcy and Rummy? I don't know. Rummy got one surgery to lengthen his days, getting a bypass through his liver. Marcy said that all the requirements for a transplant were met except for one, her dad losing 50 pounds. That was a trial for Rummy. When he was up at the emergency room on different occasions, he would beg the nurses for something to eat or drink. One night, he asked for a sandwich, and they made him a sandwich. When we were waiting for Rummy to be taken to Salt Lake by ambulance, he said, "If I'm going to die, I don't want to die hungry." We all laughed. Marcy realized in Rummy's last battle to beat his liver disease, he lost those needed 50 pounds. Rummy went without food his last 10 days of life, and he went over a week without water. Few people live that long without food or water. Last week, Rummy lost the 50 pounds he needed to lose, but too late for the liver transplant. Many of you saw Rummy was losing ground in his battle, and you came to his side to say goodbye. A week ago, last Tuesday, I thought Jesus was taking Rummy home to his arms. For over a week, he wanted it on our prayer chain for the Lord to take him home. That night, I came over at 7:30 p.m. One of the hospice nurses was on the phone telling Marcy her dad might breathe his last that night. I wanted to be there for him. I stayed until nearly 1 a.m. in the morning. Often, Rummy would stop breathing for 12 to 15 seconds. And I thought he was gone. And then he'd start to breathe again. I sang on many occasions to Rummy, but that night I sang dozens of gospel songs he loved. He would slightly open this right eye, and a tear would sit there before falling. A hospice nurse told me, "He can hear you, and he understands everything you're saying." I took courage, and I talked to him for hours. Rummy was far closer to me than I can express. We shared Jesus as our Savior, and God knit us together. From our first meeting, when Rummy would weep, I would weep. Tammy would weep, and Christy came over, and she would weep. We all let him know our love in our tears that night. Perhaps you, Marcy, have wept far more than all of us, by far. A week ago, last Wednesday, I came to help as you called me to come up, Marcy. We took your dad and I helped in carrying him from his home at 427 A Street, Apartment A, up to Sageview, Room 40. Release is the hardest when death is close to arrival. The death of God's born-again saints is certainly precious in God's sight, but for those of us left behind, we still weep, just not as those who have no hope. We know as believers we will live together forever. As my wife and I were traveling to Provo last Friday to get some work done on one of our vehicles, we got your message, Marcy. On August 21st at 2:54 p.m., Greg Allen Rumler heard the call for supper time in heaven. He wasn't late for that bell. The moment he took his final breath in room 40 at Sageview Care Center, he took his first eternal breath in glory, and he saw his Savior's face. He saw Jesus, who died on the cross to save him from his sins. He was absent from the body, at home with the Lord. This man who could make all of us smile more than almost anyone I've ever known. Rummy is smiling today in heaven. He loved us all. When he heard, Pastor Larry, that you were sick recently in the hospital, he cried over and over for you. He says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Pastor Larry. When Rummy and I first started talking about his own dying, he called me over one day. He says, let's talk about this dying stuff. He wanted no fuss, no funeral. And I told him, Rummy, don't you want to have all your friends come and hear about your love for Jesus? Don't you want to have a last testimony of how Jesus changed your life? He said, do that, preacher. So that's what we're doing today. It was his last wish that each of you would come to know Jesus. May God bless the sweet memory of this man we all love, who has gotten to heaven first before us. As Christy said last week, I wish it were me getting to go see Jesus like you. Rummy is home with Jesus. He's happy, happy forever. May God bless his precious memory in our lives for years and years to come. That's my prayer. I've entitled the message for Greg, this funeral message, Greg's Homegoing is Our Wake-Up Call. I want to read just four verses from Romans that speak about the times we're living in. What a time we're living in this pandemic. What a time it is that God took Rummy home. And the Word says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Father, I pray that this would be a message of comfort for Marcy and for all the friends and all those that are here that are gathered. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I come to this sacred honor of preaching Rummy's funeral message, I'm struck by the words of Rummy to me I mentioned earlier when he realized his funeral message would be his final testimony to those of you that he loved. And those of you that will be hearing this on sermon audio later, like Ketra up in Eagle River, Alaska. When he realized what it meant, he said, do that, preacher. Do that. Give my testimony to my family and friends. We are living in strange times. All of us are aware these are unprecedented times. And as I pondered a text for Rummy's funeral message, the context or the words that precede this text I have read, they're interesting words. They say, pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. Don't ever pay off your debt of love. If you'll love your neighbor, you'll fulfill all the requirements of God's law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to anyone, so love satisfies all God's requirements. Now, these next four verses, this wake-up call, I want to read to you from another translation I love to read from when I like to know a little more in American English exactly what that verse is saying. It says, this is all the more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. There's comfort in this passage. For me, I trust there's comfort for you. Because Rummy was 53 years old when he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so, I'm going to tell you, there's still time in each of our lives today. First of all, to wake up. Wake up. It's comforting to hear God's call to wake up from sleep to receive His salvation to follow Jesus. Paul says in verse 11, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. I have no doubt that Rummy knew about the Lord, that he had heard the call of God many a time before he was 53 years old. He didn't answer the call, though, until August of 2010. And yet that day in August, Rummy was done with his old way of life. He was done with living his life his own way, following his own desires. That day, as Rummy and I were talking, he was facing his third term in prison, now in a federal prison in Rochester, Minnesota. He realized the time was short before he'd be gone from Rock Springs and incarcerated. He didn't want to face prison alone one more time without the Lord. That was Rummy's wake-up call in August of 2010. He was longing to have Jesus in his life, to have a restart, to have him in his heart. He didn't want to be alone anymore. It's not easy to be alone. Rummy wanted, he wanted me to explain how God could help him start over from that day forward as a born-again child of God. And you know, that day in the living room, I never tried to persuade Rummy in any way. He had been listening to God's call. He was under deep conviction, and he realized the rewards of living life his own way. He knew it was high time he should come to faith in Jesus. No one ever reads through the entire Bible four times unless they've woken up. He woke up. He woke from sleep. Even born-again Christians can be spiritually asleep and not realizing the time. So we can claim to love Jesus but not love the Word of God. We don't love His love letter. Can you imagine a love letter that you don't read all the words of it? 53 years old was not too old for Rummy to wake up and give his heart to Jesus. It made me reflect on 53 years of ministry that God has given me. I've had the joy of leading a few people to the Lord who are fairly old. One day, I had the joy of leading a 96-year-old man, Roy Campbell, to the Lord. I shared the Lord's Supper with him once. I preached his funeral on March the 2nd, 1976, at Beck Funeral Home in Bloomington, Illinois. In February of 2013 in Los Rodriguez in central Mexico, I had the joy of leading a lady, 98 years old, to Jesus, Alejandra Rodriguez. But for people over 50 years of age to ever receive Jesus is rare. Statistics tell us 1 in 500,000 people over 50 give their lives to Jesus. That's why I know Rummy would tell us all today, it's high time. It's high time to come to Jesus. Let my dying, let my going home to Jesus be your wake-up call before it's too late. There would be no greater comfort for Marcy or Rummy's family and all of us today than if some of you today But let Rummy's call home to Jesus become your wake-up call to follow him. That today you'd repent, believe, and receive Jesus into your life as Savior and Master. Wake up. The second comforting word is there's still time to clean up. Clean up. It's comforting to know there's still time for us to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Paul wrote in verse 12 of Romans 13, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. If there's anything Rummy knew, he knew the difference as the manager of AAA Pawn Shop between trash and treasures. At age 53, he discovered the difference, however, between living in the dark and putting on the armor of light. Rummy told me many times as we would read the Bible together, this last year, he says, I believe Jesus is coming soon. I said, I agree, Rummy. He believed the return of Jesus was imminent and that we should be ready. None of us want to be dressed in dirty garments when Jesus comes again. Repenting is realizing we need cleansed from sin and knowing unless Jesus does the work, we'll never be clean. That day in August of 2010, Greg Allen Rumler knew he needed a spiritual bath, that he needed cleansed from sin. He was ready to turn from his own way of life. Only God can save us. But each of us must be willing to repent, believe, and receive Jesus to be cleansed. Even after we're saved as Rummy was 10 years ago, Paul tells us we must continue to live lives of repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, he wrote, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. 3 months ago, in one of our mentoring times, when I was at Rummy's home, he had his face buried in his pillow. He was crying over some sin in his life. I could see it was very, very much a struggle. I didn't ask him what it was. I didn't need to know. But I could tell it was blocking him from Bible reading. It was blocking him from prayer. I reminded Rummy that the Bible says in Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that was back in 2010, so walk in him. Today, just like you cried that day, you can cry today, confess your sin, receive God's assurance of forgiveness. Just because we're saved and legally forgiven, adopted into God's family, never means that we don't need God's fatherly forgiveness. Often we do. I do. Each of us as born-again believers do. Rummy was God's child, far from perfect, just like me. But Jesus makes us clean through the word that he speaks to us. He said, now you're clean through the word I've spoken to you. But we must want his cleansing. God doesn't just clean us up because he's going to clean us up. We must want it. Paul wrote in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Some of you were over there when I did this, but I often sang to Rummy. He loved old gospel songs. I came here on prayer meeting night one night and sang a song I'd been singing to him. If I were a preacher, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd go on preaching, but I work on a building too, working on a building. But another song that I sang to him pictures our text of clean up. It's an old traditional country gospel song that who knows who wrote it, nobody says. It was made popular years ago by Patti Loveless. It's called Two Coats. And I'm going to sing it to you just like I sang it to him one of those nights. It's my story. It's Rummy's story. As I sing it to you, see if it might be your story today. I'm going to sing it just the way I learned it as a little boy down in Kentucky. Two coats were before me, an old and a new. I asked my sweet master, oh, what must I do? The old coat was ugly, so tattered and torn. The other, a new one, had never been worn. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off that old coat and put on the new. The first man was earthy and made from the ground. We all bore his image the whole world around. The next was my Savior from heaven so fair. He bought me this new coat you now see me wear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off that old coat and put on the new. Now this coat, it suits me and keeps me warm. It's good in the winter, it's good in the storm. My Savior has dressed me in a garment so rare. He bought me this new coat you now see me wear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off that old coat and put on the new. That's God's comfort today. No matter how old you are, you can be one in 500,000. And here's the call today of, wake up, clean up, and I'll do it for you. And only He can do the cleansing. And the last word of this message is, grow up. It's comforting to know we no longer need to get involved in sinful pleasures of the world when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 13:13-14, grow up. That's a summary of what he said. He said, let's walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. It's all the same to God. It's awful sin. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him on. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I want all of you to know in the last year of Romy's life, I got to see him a lot, and I watched him grow up in Jesus. I saw him stumble a number of times, just like all of us do. But he never stayed down. He let Jesus pick him up, dust him off, and he was growing in Jesus until the Lord took him home last Friday. We grow on the basis of the food we eat. That's why Paul tells us not to make provisions for the lusts of our flesh. If we feed our flesh, we fail to grow up. If we feed the Spirit and we feed on the Word of God as we listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our hearts, we'll grow in Jesus. We grow up and we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we bow our whole will to His will, we accept what God desires in our life. We obey His commands. We trust His promises. We recognize His providences, and all in glad surrender. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, it takes a lifetime to be fully clothed in Him. We never reach perfection down here, but we start to look more and more like Jesus. Last Friday, any of the things in Romy's life that you may have noticed weren't quite like Jesus. He left them at room 40 at Sageview, where Romy left the old tent. That was his tired, exhausted body. Today in glory, there's no more waking up. There's no more cleaning up or growing up to do. Rummy is clothed today in heaven in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Today in our tears that Rummy's leaving us behind, we sorrow. I've cried many tears. But if we know Jesus when we get to heaven, there's no more tears, sadness, sickness, sorrow, or death. The work that Jesus begins at the moment of salvation, the wake up, the clean up, the grow up, it's all done when we see His face. Would you bow your heads? Do you know Jesus as Rummy did? Have you listened to God's wake up call? Have you let Jesus clean you up and wash away your sins through His shed blood at Calvary? Are you growing in Jesus? Are you awaiting the day we'll walk with Rummy? When none of us will need walkers again. Is God calling you today to repent, to believe, and receive Him? He said, do that, preacher. Give the invitation. Ask people to come to Jesus just like I did. And so I ask you, how many of you today would just say, I really need Jesus? It's my wake-up call. I need Jesus in my life. And if you'll just raise your hand, you can be one of those. I'll share a prayer and you can pray it quietly in your heart right there where you are. And ask Jesus to come in. August 28th will be your spiritual birthday, 2020. 10 years after Rummy came to Christ. How many of you would just say, I need Jesus today. I need him today. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, I need him. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Others of you. Yes, ma'am. Right now. Just raise your hand. I need Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else right now? Both men and women. I need Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you can't even raise your hand, but you just look up here. Yes, ma'am, back there. Would you just look at me right now? Just look at me. That'll be your way of saying, yes, it's me too. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just pray this prayer, would you? Simple prayer. God can hear you. You can put it in your own words, or you can just say these words and make them yours. But just say, oh God, I'm awake today. I want you to cleanse me from my sin and make me your child. I repent of my sin. I give my life to you. Live inside me by your Holy Spirit. I won't turn back. I've decided to follow you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for saving me like you saved Rummy. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Lord, as we close this message, for as much as it has pleased you, our Heavenly Father, in your wise providence to take unto yourself our beloved Greg Allen Rumler. You took Rummy home. We therefore commit his ashes to the earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who will change the body of our humiliation and fashion it anew in the likeness of his own body of glory, according to the working of his mighty power, wherewith he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, comfort, and his hope until we awake in his likeness and the day dawns and these shadows flee away. For we ask these blessings in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a time when you can come forward and share your presence, your love, and your comfort with Marcy. Thanks to all of you who have come. You've honored the memory of our dear brother in Jesus, Greg Allen Rummy. Marcy will never forget your presence and your love. Would you come and let her know? You're dismissed.